Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Your home smart speaker up on TSN 2. Brian Hazio, Dog Jeff O'Neill. Jamie Noodles McLennan, our buddy Darren Dreger, will join us here in a moment. Best Bets brought to you by FanDuel later in the hour. We got Jerry's After Dark and a memo sent from MLB to the teams. And there was one part of the memo that was reported on today that I found quite funny. I want to lay it on the line for you guys a little bit later in the hour. You tell me if you respond the same way. Because last night was awesome. You know, the World Baseball Classic comes to an end. Japan beating the U.S.
Caught Ohtani lightning in a bottle, as we said. I mean, yes. That could have been Cuba, Canada, something to that effect, where we would be so interested because Canada would be involved. But the world buzz, the baseball stage, it wouldn't have been all that. But still, not taking away, not complaining.
Sounds like a city hall. Sounds like a perfect city hall.
No, complaining
about a great finish. But
no, my point was, it seems like they caught lightning in a bottle, so it was a great spectacle. Shohei Ohtani, Mike Trout, it's a great ordeal. But not every other sport has to start complaining and whining, saying, we need that. It's almost like jealousy leads to complaining. So it's like, oh, that was cool. We need that. We need that in hockey. Bettman's an idiot. Come on. It's just like that. Just enjoy the great moment. Just
well, it was a great moment, and it's the nature of that sport where other sports cannot compare. You can't have two teammates on their club team literally facing off the way that a pitcher and a batter face off, right? Like, using hockey as an example, if McDavid plays Draisaitl, it's not only those two on the ice. You know, they're not playing one-on-one to see who's going to win, or Matthews versus Marner. Everyone doesn't clear like it's, you know, street hockey or street ball. That's the nature of baseball. That's the beauty of it, is that Ohtani could face Trout. And, you know, I don't know how close they are. I would assume they're close. It'll be kind of cool, like the idea of them going back into the clubhouse and the idea of Ohtani having a one-up on Trout, and the fact that it was the Americans versus Japan, the two biggest baseball markets in the world. You couldn't ask for anything better than that.
I agree.
You really could not.
But
it was
that
a perfect story, and it all played out last night.
Yeah, and that being said, though, guys, like I would like to see best on best in hockey. I'm not complaining. I'm just jealous of it because I'm like Connor McDavid. McDavid's like, hey, that was great. I'd like to put my hand up for that because he's dying for trying to win a gold medal. Like, these are situations, like, you can be jealous. I don't think it's a straight out complaint. It's more like envy. Like, hey, I'd like that for the sport that I care about.
And it was there before last night anyway. I didn't need to see Japan USA to say, hey, maybe we need to go less than a decade for best on best guys in the hockey world. Because it is, it's different. Like, I'm not sure there's anything better than international sports. It is a very different experience, a very different, you know, the rooting interest, the patriotism, the amount of people that jump on board that wouldn't in terms of club teams going at it. In baseball, you see it. Obviously, you see it in soccer. You see it. The Ryder Cup is outstanding.
Right.
Now, that's not
country versus
country.
When's the last time the Baseball Classic gave you that much excitement?
Never. For me, never. For me, never.
It's just been this little baseball tournament going on around the corner, and it's like,
well,
I didn't care about it the first, like, during the group stage. I kind of got on in the quarters and then the semis. The Mexico-Japan game was outstanding.
It was one great night and one great moment
is
what it was.
But it's better than nothing. Like, it's
lost,
better than nothing.
You're right.
Sorry to interrupt. And lost in all this is this the injury, too. Like, think about it. Like, there's a massive injury in this
That
play.
Got forgotten, though, didn't it? Like, yes, Diaz, you're right. And it will be remembered. And if you're a Mets fan or if you're an Astros fan and Altuve's out for a few months. But when Trout was taking on Ohtani, or just simply during the game, it was a good quality close game. No one was thinking about that in the moment, right? No one was, I don't think, anyway. How could you view that spectacle last night and think, I'm not willing to accept the enjoyment value here because Edwin Diaz got injured, you know, or Jose Altuve, or whoever else might have been injured. But you're right. Like, that's natural. That's going to happen. Like, if you're going to have a best on best before the season, during the season, after the season, someone's getting hurt.
Yeah,
someone is getting hurt. Best players in the world come together. Someone's getting hurt. And
McDavid's the guy that really he has wanted that world stage. You can tell. Like, I know he's the one that spoke up about it, but he's pissed off that he never got to take the ice with McKinnon and
he should
Crosby.
Be. Yeah, he should right. be. Like he is. We know where he's going. He's. We're talking Mount Rushmore. We're talking Gretzky. We're talking Lemieux. We're talking Orr. Yeah. Orr had 76. Lemieux and Gretzky had 87. Like, those guys had it. He doesn't get it. Crosby had 10. He had 14. You know, it's yeah. Eisenman and Sakic, they had 02. Like, the great players in Canadian history, they all had access to the biggest moment on the international stage. He has been robbed of that. He should be disappointed. Like, because it factors in. I don't know how much it matters to him. I don't know when you're in the moment. Like, he's in the prime of his career. Is he thinking legacy? Is he thinking Hall of Fame? I don't know. I mean, he's preoccupied with a game tonight. They're going to the playoffs. There's probably other things on his mind. But all of this adds up when it comes to debating who's the greatest, you know, putting resumes together. And he doesn't have that opportunity. He can't match what Crosby's done. He can't match what Gretzky did, right. What Lemieux did, because he hasn't been able to even play.
Yeah. I mean, you don't get those opportunities and you grew up watching them. Like, you envision yourself in that moment. I guarantee you envision, hey, what Sid did, or, you know, Ginla passed it to Sidney. Like, they're moments that will live forever. And you get robbed of that because of, you know, what is it? Politics, because of, you know, CBA, all of these types of things. To me, he should be pissed, and he has a right to be pissed. And I think at some point,
Will happen again. It's just a matter of when and what it will look like. Yeah. Here's Darren Dreger at TSN Hockey Insider. Paint a picture for us, Dregs. International hockey in the future. Like, when does it happen? What might it look like? What do you see taking place?
Well, I mean, they keep inching towards the World Cup in 2025, but, you know, it doesn't seem like they're invested in it being the NHL and the Players Association, but I think what's confusing is what's the holdup? Like, why aren't you getting to a place where you can announce, you can fully plan, you can identify exactly what the format of this event is going to look like? And I guess the complication comes somewhat internationally, because the European federations don't want it to be in February. They want it to be preseason for their own leagues. But you can work around that. I feel like you can work around that. And it just seems like it kind of goes away, and then all of a sudden you have an event like World Baseball Championship where we're reminded of what best on best to a degree can look like, and just the international flavor, and we want it again. And to a man, there wouldn't be many NHL players, star players, who don't want best on best and an opportunity again. So maybe this is the latest kind of poke to the NHL and Players Association to get it done.
Yeah, and like, I think I'm assuming Russia factors into this a little bit too, Dregs. Like, you can't have them in the tournament, or they're not going to have them in the tournament.
Yeah, but don't go around and make it some goofy team because they're not there.
Right.
No. Right. And that is a problem. There's no question about that. And as we know, the IIHF doubled down after their meetings in Budapest, right, where they've extended the expulsion of Belarus and Russia through 23-24. But, you know, could you not have come out well in advance and said, look, you know, we want to see what the landscape looks like? You know, everybody knew that the NHL and the Players Association were looking forward to the IOC and the governing bodies around the Olympics, you know, making the tough decision to allow, you know, those players, athletes, whatever, to find their way back into international competition. And it looked like that was the direction it was heading, right? Like, maybe it wasn't the IOC, but I'm thinking of the report that was, a month or two ago that came out that indicated that in some form these athletes were going to be allowed back on the Olympic stage. And that was a real push forward, I think, for the IIHF and the NHL and the NHLPA. because we can also appreciate here, it's not like the NHL and Players Association can say, well, we're doing this in 25, the World Cup I'm talking about, and we can debate over which month. Obviously, the National Hockey League has a favored month. The IIHF and the federations have their own month. I think the bigger problem comes, and we can all understand this, when you've got these European federations that go, okay, well, we don't really care what the IOC or those governing bodies are doing from a hockey perspective. No, if we're Sweden, if we're Czechia, if we're Finland, go down the list. We're not going to support having, an event that is going to bring those athletes back into play. So it's a very convoluted process for sure.
With Darren Dreger, a TSN Hockey Insider, that whiteboard in Sheldon Keefe's office is a convoluted process right now, too, right?
It's like the Quizmasters.
Yeah, right. He's trying to fill out pieces and who's going with who and what lines and what deep pairings. And now Samsonov's leaving the team, so Wall's going to come up. And you'll have Murray go tomorrow in Florida. What's your read on this situation, Dregs, in terms of either the confusion, how much of an impact it's having on the players, and when Keefe needs to snap out of it here and kind of find some lines and pairings that he's willing to stick with?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably close to that line, isn't it? With the playoffs looming, where you want to identify, what you can lean on. And, okay, we know because Ryan O'Reilly isn't in the mix that, he's going to step in. And, okay, then you alter accordingly. I don't know that we need to let one night or a couple of games, develop the whole narrative here, especially in this market, but last night was ugly. Like, after the first period, things just seemed to unravel. I mean, in hindsight, it's easy to question, should Samsonov have been in the net? Noodles, you probably talked about this. I don't know. I didn't hear. But he's got a lot going on. Like, he acknowledged that before the game and then after the game. And I can't hang that game on Samsonov even a little bit. But it didn't take Sheldon Keefe long before, I think it was 10 minutes in the first period, and you see Matthews and Marner and Nylander together again. Like, he brings the blender out really quickly. And, you talked a couple of times about the gas last night, including postgame. And unfortunately for Liljegren, he was, a part of a couple of those significant ones, and one that was glaringly obvious. And I can tell you guys, from a confidence perspective, I think he's rattled. And maybe that's a good thing. If his buddy Sandin is gone, and, on any given night, you don't know if you're in the lineup or out of the lineup, but kind of isn't that the spirit of compete? Find a way to force yourself into the equation. So I think that the group wants a little bit more stability from the coaching staff. But in saying that, the coach is probably looking for players to play their way into a chemistry that makes sense. And I just, with so many new faces, we talked about it in that quiz. I think there are six new faces, six trades in 12 days. That's a lot of experimenting from Sheldon Keefe trying to find that chemistry balance. But it's at a time, I think, where he's got to settle things down and just kind of roll with what he thinks is going to be his best up front and his best on defense.
Dregs, I'm not so worried about the new faces and stuff. I'm more worried about, and again, I know it's a long season and some dry spells and some dips, but, if you had your choice, Nylander's kind of struggled a little bit. John Tavares has struggled. Michael Bunting looks off, right? Like, he doesn't look like he can get there. Yeah. He looks like he's thinking out there instead of playing, right? And I think what's happened too with his game is the league has gone on. He's not going to fight, and he's going to try and get underneath the skin, but guys are just turning away and saying we don't want it. So you're deemed a little bit ineffective in that situation. Would you be more concerned about the players that aren't at the top of their game, or more concerned about the chemistry of the new players that are coming in?
A little bit of all of that, Noodles. I think you're bang on, but even though it's tough for Michael Bunting, if he plays his way down in the lineup, that's fine. Then he's got to find a way to play his way up. No different than, Yarncroak or Achari or any of these guys, right? I mean, we know the success that Bunting has had with top players, but he's also feeling the stress of being in a contract year, and I get all that. I just, the management is curious to me, and I'm not being critical. It's, you know, we talked a little bit about it pregame and throughout the elements of the game last night. You know, for Sheldon Keefe to be as specific as he was about what he's not seeing, as an example, in Nylander's game, and not long ago, last week it was what he wasn't seeing in Bunting's game, and then Bunting kind of rebounded and had a good half game and then was thrown out there in overtime and maybe got the message, but now it doesn't seem like he's getting the message. I guess my point is I'm surprised how transparent Sheldon is being. And maybe it kind of hits a bit of a nerve when you're talking about a top end, a star player like Nylander. And Pooley talked about it all last night, right? Where, you know, he talked about how, look, when a coach says you're not moving your feet, that pisses you off. Like, it could be true, but it still kind of hurts your feelings. And I'm starting to wonder if, not a disconnect, but players are going, okay, well, you got this blender out. There's things happening all over the place. Like, when do we get to settle in and play our game? And if you've got that message to send from a coaching staff perspective that, okay, well, this guy isn't doing this and this guy isn't doing that, well, deliver that message behind the scenes in the dressing room, which we know he is, but maybe not make it as specific to the media. And that sounds ridiculous coming from me because we always want transparency and we want the truth from the coach. So I'm not hammering Sheldon and all of this. I just wonder if that isn't contributing a little bit to what we're seeing from Bunting, what we're seeing from Nylander, even to a point what we're seeing from the captain, John Tavares.
Well, Darren, don't you think that Sheldon has basically said, like, you can talk about whatever you want as far as management and who's going to be around if they don't get the job done, but when you're the head coach and can't get the team over the hump, he's probably just saying, this is my last crack at it, and if these guys can't win in the first round, I'm screwed anyway. So I'm just going to tell it how it is, and I don't care whose feelings I'm hurting.
Well, and if that's true, I hope that's the case, because even though, you know, Keefe doesn't have a decorated resume from an NHL head coaching perspective, I would want to go down with the fight. I wonder about that, because maybe he's just trying to appease too many people in all of this process. You know, what you say to your coaches or your players behind the scenes, that's in the room stuff, and it's not really our business. But when you know, answer questions as openly as he does, again, it's hard to be critical because I'm a media person, but maybe there's that. Maybe there's that. I don't know. Like, people keep piling on Kyle Dubas as an example, and it's fair. He's in an expiring contract, and, you know, I think we're pretty certain that there hasn't been any negotiating on an extension. That's not the style of the brass of the ownership of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And, you know, if you're connecting to Kyle Dubas, then you have to connect to Sheldon Keefe. But Dubas hasn't really shown any sort of wear when it comes to the pressure. So I'd be surprised. I just think that, you know, Sheldon Keefe is trying to hold everyone's attention. I just also wonder, though, when you get to this point of the regular season, if stability isn't the best approach. I watched that game last night a bit in disbelief because I thought they had a good first period. Second period was not so good, and then they just kind of collapsed in the third period. All of that surprised me, so it'll be interesting to see how Sheldon approaches things moving forward here.
Darren, you used to have a fantastic segment called The Hot Seat that you used to work on with the Quizmaster, and you did it right before the season.
Yeah, it was great.
If you could... It really helped your connections throughout the league, I must say that. But if you could just kind of, like, coming down the stretch, who was thinking, like, my team better get it together or I could be in some serious trouble? Not teams that are in because they're in, but there's teams that, I mean, man, it's not looking good.
No, I get that. That's a tough one at this stage because, you know, not that the playoff lines have been drawn or etched in stone. They haven't been, and there's still a lot of uncertainty in both conferences. You know, there are a couple of Canadian teams, obviously, that are feeling the heat, right? You look at the Calgary Flames and everything that's going on there and the finger pointing at Daryl Sutter. You've got Brad Treliving, the general manager, who's on an expiring contract, and the whispers of, does he want to stay? Does he want to go? you know, the fact that certain players, big pieces, haven't, you know, played out the way that they were hoping. Then I shift over. I look at Winnipeg, and Winnipeg for me is if that team continues to stumble, and okay, they found a way to beat Arizona last night, but if they stumble into the playoffs and then struggle in round one and get eliminated, I think anything is possible, because you start to look at the bigger pieces. I think they'd move heaven and earth. This is ownership and management to sign Pierre-Luc Dubois. He doesn't want to sign there. Then he becomes a primary trade piece. And then what happens to number 55, Mark Scheifele? Rumors have been around him forever. You know, if those two pieces are in play, then you have to look at the goalie, Connor Hellebuck, who's not that far down the path from needing, you know, contract extension. So those are two Canadian cities that I would look at. And then beyond that, I think we can look just about anywhere. Ottawa is obvious with ownership looming, but from a pure hockey perspective and what's going on the ice, I think Calgary and Winnipeg would be two hot spots for sure.
Yeah, I think that's valid. And meanwhile, you know, Calgary got their win last night, and you still got a battle, right? Like, they play each other, I believe, this weekend in Winnipeg, and someone's getting in. Like, I don't think Nashville will get in, so I think one of those two teams is going to get in.
The scary part, though, Brian, as I was just looking at their schedule, like, Nashville plays Seattle a couple times. Like, Nashville has a couple games in hand, but I believe Nashville, like, there's, like, Arizona, Chicago. Like, Nashville's path, if you look at degree of, what is it called, degree of schedule, there is some interesting ones here down the stretch where you're like, okay, that team has six more games against Chicago, Arizona. I think Calgary Calgary looks decent on that part. But I'm looking at Nashville, and Nashville has a pretty decent schedule. I wouldn't count him out, although, you know, what did they do? Was that last night they put up a seven?
Yeah, they put up seven against Buffalo. Yeah. Everyone was watching that game,
just,
remember?
You're waiting. Yeah, that's right. You were watching. You're waiting for one of these teams to kind of drop out, because in the back of my mind, and I could be 100% wrong, I kind of thought Seattle was kind of stubbing their toe, and they haven't played to their capabilities, and then they found a way to win in overtime.
Big one last night.
And you know, like, because those teams are, like, only 6 points behind Seattle as well. So it's pretty interesting. Like, some team has to go on a heater, and some team's going to have to fall off a cliff. But it's scoreboard watching every night, because if you look at it, all those teams that needed points last night got them.
Yeah. Well, and the other team to watch here, obviously, as we wrap up here, is Pittsburgh, clearly, right? Like, the rumblings around and that group, Hextall, Burke, et cetera, with new ownership, the Fenway Group, overseeing the Pittsburgh Penguins, I mean, they're off the charts. And the media in Pittsburgh is piled on Ron Hextall. So obviously they do themselves a big favor if they can lock down a playoff spot. That's very much up in the air. But if they bow out early, then, you know, that's going to be, unfortunately, a hot seat team for guys like me.
Yep, for sure. All right, Dregs, we'll leave it there, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
Okay, guys, have a great night.
Darren Dreger, a TSN Hockey Insider. I'm actually looking at Nashville's sked. I think it's the opposite, Noodles.
Sorry, I printed it off, but I
let me go through it here.
It's a tough one?
They got Seattle twice at home. It's one of those Seattle's coming in, and they're playing. Maybe that was a makeup game. I don't know. Then they got the Leafs at home, but they're at Boston, at Pitt, at Dallas. They got Vegas. They got Carolina. They got Colorado,
Winnipeg,
Minnesota
Calgary,
still.
Now,
they have
two
games against Winnipeg and Calgary, but both of them are in Winnipeg and Calgary. So Nashville is in tough.
They're in one. Yeah,
they
you're right.
They could be in one.
Yeah, you're right. Actually, I misspoke, because I was looking at it very quickly. But you're right. Nashville will be in one. But I look at, like, even a team like Seattle has 5 or 6 pretty easy games. Like,
yes.
Calgary, depending on what you believe, they beat Anaheim. Now you got Vegas, but then you got San Jose. You got L.A., so that you're in the same division. Then it's Vancouver, Anaheim, Chicago, and then Winnipeg, then Vancouver, then Nashville, then San Jose. So those are teams that – again, they're either below you in the standings. Like, you have to play desperate hockey.
Yep.
And, you know, you lose a bad one in L.A. I'm sure all hell was breaking loose. People's hair was on fire. But you win last night, and pretty convincing. Like, it's going to be scoreboard watching. Like, I was watching it last night, just watching the scoreboards going, oh, my God, like, you know, this team's winning, this team. Like, tonight, Pittsburgh is in Colorado.
Like,
that's not an easy place to play.
I will be tuned into that one, boy.
That one's tough.
I will be tuned into that one.
Yeah. Tristan Jarry better be ready to play. And then the Nightcaps, Edmonton at home against Arizona, where Skinner's going to play. If he better have a pulse tonight. If he does, Edmonton should blow out Arizona. But who knows with the way they're defending and the goaltending, and not a good scene.
But the thing is they just, you know, Arizona is surprising teams. Like, what are they, 5-2 in their last seven at home or something? And now going on the road, Winnipeg played tough last night, but it is a back-to-back, and we'll see how Edmonton
It should
responds.
Be a green light for McDavid and Draisaitl and company, but you never know. You never know. All right, our best bets brought to you by FanDuel still to come. Jerry's After Dark. There's a Canadian businessman who's worth billions that may be in on the Washington Commanders. Tell you about that story as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Big, big day coming up in July. I got a message from the Sarnia Sting. We're going to the tourney. We're going to the tourney.
We're going streaking. We're going to the tourney. They're calling us in as ringers. We're really doing it here. I love it. Okay, back in the old stomping grounds. Hopefully it's a good track and
Dude,
we
did
get
you
treated
even,
the way
we
should
be treated.
How long
were you there?
Not long. Three, I don't know, a month and a half, 2 months.
Six
Not long
weeks.
Enough to make an impact.
Yes. My old stomping grounds.
The old stomping grounds. It's a gritty town, man. Sarnia, it's a gritty town, but they love their Sting, right? The home of Steven Stamkos and Brian Hayes, among other greats of the past. So maybe Stammer will be there. Who knows? You know, maybe Neil Yakupov will show up.
There's our foursome. Me, you, Yakupov, and Stammer.
Perfect.
Hockey
Lock
news
it in.
Can't find that guy.
But maybe the Golf Channel can, right, Noodles? Maybe.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe Golf Digest can track him down. Maybe he's teeing it. Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe he's hanging with this Canadian billionaire. I've never heard of this guy before.
Dude, never in my life. And I'm not claiming I'm some highfalutin cat, but this guy's name popped up as a Canadian billionaire, and I was thinking, I usually kind of know somebody that might know of that guy or that guy. Never, never.
No, his name's Steve Apostolopoulos, and he's worth about $3.9 billion, and he's the managing partner of Triple Group of Companies and Toronto-based real estate firm, also founder of Six Ventures, Inc., a private equity venture fund. I guess his late father, I think, had money and was involved in possibly purchasing different stadiums and anyway, obviously he's got a lot of money. He's a young guy. Like, I've seen pictures of him. He doesn't look like he's more than, you know, maybe 50 years old, mid-40s. But he was down in Washington getting the tour of the Commanders. Like, Daniel Snyder's selling the team, and a guy from Toronto is in the running, apparently.
It's impressive.
And it is impressive. Like, obviously, if you've put together ventures that have made you a multi-billionaire – You're pushing some buttons and you're moving and shaking.
That's a major nut job as far as that transaction would be.
With big time.
What's being documented of the past and what's gone on with employees and Snyder and the treatment of certain people like that. That is literally, you want to talk about a house cleaning if you made that transaction?
Yeah.
That would be an all-timer right there.
The definition of it, you're right. Going in, wiping everything out, completely starting from scratch. Like, that fan base hates Snyder, possibly more than any other fan base hates an owner that I can think
of. Dude, why wouldn't you? He's the biggest loser owner ever. He got in there and he was so – he just couldn't stop himself. And that's dangerous. And I forget who told me the – it might have been Dave Naylor who said, you get an owner that's got a couple beers in him that gets in a video room – watch out, because you got a serious problem on your hands.
You're in big trouble.
You are in big, big trouble.
I agree.
The facilities aren't great. The field has never been good. Like, it's just got a really poor reputation.
How, How do you not have a good field? I mean, that's got to be number. You're only playing 8 games. Like the money that these guys have, that's number one. You say, I want the best field out there because I want the guys. I want guys wanting to sign here because of our field condition.
But they don't care. Absolutely. Like it seems like everything.
How could you
there
not care, though, Jamie? That's the point. It's like that's insane.
But it seems like everything there seems to be second rate as far as, you know, the way they treat people, the way that the culture has been. Like, that's why you need somebody that comes in who has some class, that is willing to spend money, and like you said, just broom everybody. Just clean it all out and start and develop your own new culture where you want it done properly and done right and treat people with respect. And, you know, fans will be there. The fans will – the NFL, it's the NFL. They're always going to love their teams. But I think it's a wholesale cleansing of the culture and everybody involved in there. And you have to come in and actually do a forensic audit of, like, who's a good person and who's a piece of garbage in the front office and everywhere.
All the way down. Yeah.
Right, and you all the way down.
Gain the trust of, like, regain the trust of your fan base, who will be ecstatic you're there. You do have that going for you.
Right.
Anyone not named Dan Snyder will be celebrated. But, yeah, Apostolopoulos, we'll see. I mean, $3.9 billion.
Toronto?
Yeah, he's a Toronto guy. Yeah, he's from Toronto. $3.9 billion is clearly a lot of money, but I would think I think the Commanders will sell for about that, if not maybe more. I mean, it's the NFL. To get in, the Denver Broncos just sold, I think, for over $4 billion. So I would think there'd have to be a team of investors, and maybe he's at the forefront. But it also seems like everyone's waiting for Bezos to just come in and drop the hammer, right, and just say, actually, I'll take it. Here's $5 billion cash. Thank you. You know, he's from Washington. He lives down there. It's Amazon money. Like, you can't compete with Bezos if he wants to get in. If he really wants it, you're not getting it over him, I wouldn't think. But, yeah, there you go. A little Canadian content, Toronto content on the NFL scene. So I referenced this earlier. I credit baseball because the pitch clock and their commitment to try to shave minutes off games has actually come to fruition. Now, it's spring training. We'll see what happens come the real stuff. But based on the amount of games they've played so far, they're shaving like 25 minutes off the average game. What I read
this
morning.
That's great, man.
That's a lot of time. When you really think about it, that's a lot of time. The average spring training game this time has fallen from 3 hours and 1 minute to 2 hours and 36 minutes. That's what the memo said today. That's huge. You get in that 240 range, 245, maybe it's 220, maybe it's 3. You know, you can kind of that's a really good range for sports, especially games being played every single day. So baseball's committed to it, obviously. They've seen tangible results, so they're going to stay on these guys. But they sent a memo to the 30 teams today.
Here we go.
Addressing some issues, right, that have come up, including the ability for an umpire to stop a clock if a guy gets brushed back on a pitch or there's a big swing, he loses his helmet. You know, if a pitcher's covering first base or covering the plate, like the ability, I'm not sure they thought that through. Now they've seen it and they're realizing, okay, we need the ability for the ump to say, don't start the clock yet. You know, you got to let the pitcher get from first base back to the mound before you start it and you start the process over. So those are elements of the memo that made sense. But this is one that stood out to me. You tell me if I'm on base here, but this surprised me. Major League Baseball sending this memo to all 30 teams. New standards will be enforced for bat boys and bat girls whose ability to quickly retrieve equipment will help efforts to speed up the game, according to the memo. The league will evaluate the performances of bat boys and bat girls and could ask teams to replace them if their performance is considered substandard.
Oh, that's going to go really well when you get a kid that is a grit grinder and can't get there quick enough, and you got to fire him.
Could you imagine that? Hey, bat boy, come in, close the door. Let me have a word with you. You having
step
fun?
On this? No. Step on the scale.
You having a good time?
Step on the scale.
Step on the scale.
You having a good time? Yeah, because I've been reviewing the tape. You're brutal. You suck. Get out of my office. You're out, bat boy. Send the bat girl in. I got to have a word with her.
That's what's like so bizarre about
that. I can't believe they would put this in a memo. Even if you're going
to somebody go to Bobby Manns and say, look, man, Manns, you can't send this out. It's so ridiculous. And you can have something. You can talk directly to whoever in game ops is managing the ball boys and bat girls, whatever the hell's going on with that. And you got to just send an
That's got to be over the phone or in person.
Over the phone or an email saying, exactly. Guys, we're on a mission here to shorten the games. We've got to keep who's ever doing that in order, and let's just not have any fumbling around.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Why he had to do a memo with that is absolutely asinine. Wow.
Crazy to have that in print. Hey, a bat boy and a bat girl that's struggling to retrieve bats, fire that kid. Get him or her out of the park and tell him to make sure that Thor doesn't hit him on the way out.
You want to talk
outrageous.
About storming City Hall? There's your story right there. Because can you imagine
like the ultimate warrior right to
fired.
City Hall?
Yeah, my kid got fired. You can already see it, right? Yeah. You already see it. Like, you know, CTV News, Michelle Dubé, 6 o'clock story. Little Brian Hayes got fired today by, John Schneider or Mark Shapiro.
And then it'll turn out the guy has like a prosthetic leg or something that they didn't realize, and like he moves a little slower, and
he's
like
Forrest
oh my
Gump
God.
With the knee braces on, and he just can't move out there.
It is just a recipe for disaster, especially with children and younger, like when kids are involved. Like this, it's ridiculous. And even if you think it, don't say it. Like, that's a private memo or a little conversation going, we just need everybody to speed up here.
That's over the
phone. Including the bat boys and bat girls.
Hey,
yeah,
it's Rob Manfred. I'm calling. I've noticed you got a bat boy down there. He's really lagging ass. Can you do me a favor and tell him to pick up? But the idea of them reviewing the tape, hey, there's little Billy. Bill. Like, come in, close the door. I've been reviewing the tape, and you're brutal. You suck at this, and I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
Wow.
I cannot even imagine the idea of going through with that conversation. Major League Baseball's front office calling up the, Tampa Bay Rays. We've been watching, and she's brutal. You got to get rid of her. The bat girl, it's not going to cut it. She has to go.
What could go wrong with that, honestly? It's a recipe for disaster.
It's a recipe in the society we live in now, too.
Dude, it's a lawsuit, man. It's a complaint. It's a lawsuit. It's just something outrageous.
Yeah. Like standards. You have to have standards, obviously. You have, like, the boys and girls that partake in this activity, you have to make sure they know what they're doing.
Right.
And they have to move appropriately. But you're going to have them on a clock, on a bat clock, a bat retrieval clock, Rob Manfred. Sitting there like a mad scientist breaking down what's going on at parks all over Major League Baseball.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Crazy. But there's a part of me that really wants to see it. Now I really want someone to break the story.
Oh,
that
really?
A kid got fired in Arizona.
Bat Boy Cam.
Yeah. Bat Boy Gate. That's what it'll be. Bat Boy Gate. Who got fired around Major League Baseball? All right, our best bets brought to you by FanDuel coming up and Jerry's After Dark. Raptors Pacers tonight on TSN Radio. We'll tee that up as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
Welcome to Jerry's After Dark, where all of your wildest hot takes come to life. Because Jerry's always in the mood for one more, and you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Yeah, reluctantly we do. We're quite aware of what Jerry's talking about. It is time for one more.
Very horny.
Take After Dark.
Yeah.
Matthew Nyes will be in the Leafs lineup for game one of the playoffs. Matthew Nyes, the big game guy.
Sneaky little nickname there, right? That's an interesting one from Jerry. It sounds like Nyes is, he's going to go pro. He's going to sign up here. And when that happens, he'll play regular season games. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But game one of the playoffs is a different beast.
You kind of got to think that they wanted him to play last year, didn't they? Wasn't it up in the air whether he was going to get out of college last year? So I don't know how the promises work or we're going to give you this or that. But you got to get him signed, and you got to watch him play a couple times, don't you, before you can say you're starting come playoff time?
Absolutely.
So I said last night on the quiz, this is a ripoff from the quiz last night, 100% I said last night, which is a ridiculous comment.
Very aggressive.
Wow. Who said that?
I did, and I don't know why. And I'm going to take it down a notch or two to 80%. Because there's something about the kid where I think he's just one of those studs where it's like, we don't need to see, maybe you're just ready to rock.
I always stop short. Like, everyone can go, well, Cole Caulfield do it, did it, and stepped right in. But there's also Hobie Baker winners that, you know, didn't end up being very good pros. So they're somewhere in between, right? Like, you don't know. And I need to lay eyes on this guy. Sounds like he's a big kid that can skate and has all the tools. And obviously, the Toronto Maple Leafs have had, I guarantee you, they've had a scout or somebody that's laid eyes on this guy every game that he's played. So they might be thinking, this guy, if we can get him a handful of games here at the end of his season, he might be able to step in on that left side that we do need help on, potentially. You know, if Bunting keeps moving around, you know, if you 100% feel like even a Kerfoot or Yarncroke slides up
a lot,
or down,
man. He's play with Matthews or Tavares against Tampa in the playoffs.
Yeah, but maybe it's a third line situation. Like,
maybe he's good.
Maybe he is.
And sometimes kids are so oblivious to the moment. They're just like, hey, you know, watch this Dylan Ferguson kid put 48 saves in Pittsburgh the other night. It's like, hey, I'm happy to be here. I'll have some fun type of thing. Like, your first 5 to 10 games, oh, I don't know how you felt. Like, you're in a fog anyways. Like, it's just, you're so overwhelmed. You're like, hey, I'm in the NHL.
Dude, I was skating around in warm-up my first ever game, and it was so embarrassing. I just couldn't stop staring at Mark Messier in his bald head, and I was like, that's Mark Messier.
It is weird, man.
And Brian Leetch and Adam Graves, and I was like, it was the weirdest thing. That it was like I was living in a dream, because I'd watched them so many times, and I'm like, I'm on the ice with Mark Messier.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It is weird. I'm 68% because I think
that's high too, man.
But I think if the kid can show that he plays, what's the down? Are you 100%? Is Zach Aston Reese like you locked in that you have to have?
Well,
that
he plays
guy?
A like, different style. Yeah, like that's the thing. I mean, I'm low. I'm like 20%. I think that there's a chance, but it's one thing for the scouts to see him. I'm sure they've told Keefe to place eyes on him, like watch game tape of him if they know he's coming. But it's asking a lot of like a 19-year-old, 20-year-old to step in against that series, like the pressure on the Leafs against Tampa, and you're 10 days into your career and you're pushing. Like, if it's Aston Reese, obviously he's a different beast. Like, Kerfoot literally doesn't score anymore. Like, they could add offense. Maybe he's got ingredients that they could be looking for. It's not even about that. It's more about what you can realistically expect out of a kid stepping in a big moment on a good team. I just think it's asking a lot.
I've got to change mine to a lower. Joe from the Bridge just said, if this kid goes to the finals of the Frozen Four, he'll basically have only like 3 regular season games that you can lay eyes on. That's too little of a sample size. Unless he's an absolute lock and he's a complete stud and you're like, this guy is the missing piece for us, you're in those last 3 and you're playing in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm
going to go lower on that. I'm going to go 48% based on that text from Joe from the Bridge.
Shout out to Joe from the Bridge.
Yeah.
All right, Best Bets brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Jump on the app. I got a same game parlay for the Raptors tonight. Siakam over 20 points. I love it tonight. He's been scoring more recently. I think he goes off against Indiana. Fred VanVleet's been playing the best basketball of the season for him. 8-plus assists for Fred, and I like Ananobi's 6-plus rebounds tonight. If Scotty's going to be out, if Precious is going to be out, if Trent's going to be out, those three are going to play a ton of minutes, and the ball's going to go through them a ton tonight. So same game parlay, Siakam 20-plus points, VanVleet 8-plus assists, OG 6-plus rebounds, locking in at plus 433. Today's Best Bets brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more and get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. Raptors coming up against the Pacers. Jack Armstrong, we're going to check in with him tomorrow. March Madness continuing. Sweet 16, we can't wait. We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at
Sarnia. We're coming for you. 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.